knuckle cap. I'd like to call this meeting of the Osage Nation Congressional Appropriations Committee to order. The date is November 29th. Time is 3:09 PM. Roll call.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Maker.
Here.
Congressman Norris.
Here.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Congresswoman Pratt.
That's here.
Congressman Shaw.
Here. Congressman Norris.
Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you pray that you come down upon this committee, help us, guide us through this meeting, help us make good decisions for Osage Nation and Osage people. Father in heaven, I ask that you bless all the families who may be in mourning today. Lay your hand on them and help them through this tough time. All this I ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Approval of minutes. Past the minutes on the 28th of yesterday. All six were here. I have sent the comptroller and treasurer a request to send us a revised statement specifically related to the IHS pre-award reimbursement, but to include all the amounts. And I've also requested the copy of the RFPs from treasurer for the audit. Seems like a small document for as much rhetoric as was uttered during that meeting. The way it usually is, it records what action was taken and what was said.
Was that good literature or bad literature?
I would just say a lot of it. It was all good. That's our process.
There you go.
Is Chad Cobb the comptroller or comptroller? Is there a difference?
Oh, he's here.
He can answer.
Controller? What's a comptroller?
Essentially, the same comptroller is typically used in a government. Or controller would be something.
What's your you?
I'm sorry?
What's your title?
I think officially it's controller. It's really the same person.
Okay.
Comptroller's old school.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
That's a tough title, controller.
Yeah.
Everything's a control issue.
Say we have restricted from the...
Chair entertain a motion for any changes or acceptance of minutes.
Incompetent statute. Statute. BIA. All your business is... And I sell my land for that person. Sell it in nation.
You approve the appropriations. Minutes from November 28th, 2016.
Stable.
Second.
Motion made by Congressman Tillman, seconded by Congressman Maker to approve the minutes as submitted on November 28th. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Opposed say no. Now to the admit to the rest of the public. Consideration of 2017 projected revenue. Now, I wanted to revisit, Fred, I don't have a copy made for you, but I'll read out what I can. This is the, these are the amounts and the titles from our ONCR 1638 that the Congress approved September 23rd. It was not vetoed, did not require veto override, signed by the chief. And now therefore be it resolved to approve the annual projected revenue for FY17 as follows. There's a tribal amount, there's a non-tribal amount, there's two categories under restriction, the IHS multi-year funding agreement and the permanent fund. And then another line item is FY2015 unobligated funds, $2.9 million, which as you may recall, I believe the congressional intent was to set that aside and retain revenue fund, which we're still working on, that Bill will address later. And another line item is unappropriated funds FY 2016, the amount of $1,985,259. And so it gives a total projected revenue that included the permanent fund of $111,595,778. A large majority of that, and then we have non-tribal funds. So remember, the reason it was so large, when people see that, oh, we got 111 million, well, some of that's non-tribal, some of it's restrictive funds, like the multi-year funding agreement, and 30 million, almost 31 million is permanent fund. And then the only two amounts that are still there that are sort of carry forwards is the unobligated funds from 2016, 2.9 million, and unappropriated FY 2016. And we, I have an amount here, I don't know if you've seen that, if anybody, I have, Mr. Potts made a copy of this. And as you can see, that if you take the 2.9 and the 1.9 off the table, out of the calculation, that leaves it at $158,017. That was prior to Rayma and the others, but that was $158,000. So we've heard others talk about that amount. That is not including the 2.9, which may be set aside and retained revenue fund, we'll see how the Congress proceeds. And that does not include the 1.9 million, which some of my colleagues feel it shouldn't be available for appropriation until after the audit, annual audit's done. So if we don't approve those, we'll have essentially Rayma and $158,000 to appropriate for the spending requests we have now. And they total about right at 2.1 million. Mr. Potts, is that right? Mr. Cobb, the total amount in appropriation request for this session?
Yeah.
2.1 million, so certainly $158,000 can do that. If you had 963, you've got 1.2 million, so you still don't have enough to appropriate this. So that's all the money we have, or the 2.9 and 1.9 could be considered. As you may know, the Congress unanimously sponsored and voted on a bill on the retained revenue fund that 2.923 million would be set aside for future obligations requiring a supermajority to approve. So I feel optimistic that the Congress will support a bill that sets aside that money and clarifies for the purpose of the treasurer and the executive branch that goes to retained revenue fund. Now we've got the unappropriated funds FY 2016. These were monies that were part of the 16 projected revenue under tribal, but just weren't unappropriated. And so I guess what we're looking at now is, what's the status of that 1.9 million? It's even in our projected revenue. Okay. Well, what's the status of it? Is it available to appropriate now, or must it wait till after the audit's complete, when the auditor and the treasurer issues a report as to how much is available? And I know that I feel like it should be available right away. Remember, we could have appropriated it September 30th, but now on November 29th, we have to wait till the audit. So I have a hard time making the OSIG people wait for use of that money to satisfy the purposes of the audit. Now, apparently, my knowledge, there's no OSIG law or policy that requires us to that, but we have done that before. There is precedent for that. I acknowledge Congresswoman Whitehorn gave us copies of some emails, I think. So I think that's the gist of what we're talking about right now. Congressman Whitehorn, would you share with us your position?
Well, there's several angles of that position that I have. The unappropriated funds, FY 16 funds, are all we really know right now. We had unappropriated funds in FY 15 and FY 14 and FY 13 also at the end of that year. We could point to you and say we have $365,000 of unappropriated revenue, but we never carried that forward in a projected revenue total, because it's always been my stance that's not part of the next year's projected revenue. It's already been projected revenue. And now, in my opinion, that unappropriated funds number is part of what's going to be unobligated funds, because they didn't get obligated during the FY16 year. That's the money that's going to go into the unobligated funds part. So right now, I think what we're looking at is saying, well, we can appropriate it until, once the audit's final, then we can't appropriate it anymore. I disagree with that. I disagree. I believe that once the books close, and I know that they're not closed solid and tight, but spending in the fiscal year ends on September 30th. And you're right. We could have appropriated that up until that point, but we're past September 30th now. And to me, that number, plus any other unspent funds that were in the treasury that were appropriated, are subject to the audit. And I handed this out to show that I believe the first year I was on Congress, which was 2000, I was elected in 2012, I went through the FY13 CHISO appropriation session in 12, and I believe that we just got our new treasurer, Callie Catcher. She hadn't been with us long. So, like Mr. Alexander, she just kind of let us do the way we had done. And I do believe that we did not wait for an audit to spend what we thought we had in the treasury. And we did appropriate those funds. But after her policies were in place, which I think are very good accountability policies, once the book closed on September 30th, and then you have a period of time where all of your encumbrances filter in, and that date's the 31st, and then your audit is done, she requested that we not spend any of the money that we thought we had until that audit was finished. And I think that that is a really good policy and principle to go by. I don't see what I know or what I think I know, and I tried to get some information on this from what I hear about our health insurance pool, which we've had no official communication about it. I think that there is some out there, but it's my understanding we had a shortage, and it was quite a large shortage in that, in the millions of dollars. But I don't have a document. Do you recall that the number was in the millions of dollars that we were short in our insurance pool? Used to, we would appropriate that money, but what I'm understanding is they've been trying to garner and glean money from budgets to get into that pool. Our premiums have raised because of that. Also, IDC, once there are a whole bunch of things that figure into closing out the fiscal year's year-end spending, what we need to make us whole. So I really strongly feel that $1.9 million has got to be subject to audit. And then we get a notification after the audit's complete, like this, an official notice from the treasurer that says the carryover amount for FY14 unexpended budget is $2,072,731. If you have any question, please feel free to contact me. That's the official notice of audited funds or fiscal year that this money is available now for spending. And now that this amount from the law we passed, and if we get it amended, will go into our unobligated fund. Is that the name of it? Is that the correct name of it? Unobligated funds. On deposit to that. So also, if you look at your big picture right here, if you look at the blue kind of two-thirds of the way down where it says total appropriation, all categories, where it says 98,650 dollars, and you'll drop yourself down and look at tribal projected revenue, total projected revenue less unobligated, unappropriated, non-tribal revenue, and permanent fund is $50,256,000. We need to keep ourselves balanced there. Because if we spend more money, if we spend a million $1,000 more this year than in FY17, chances are, we'll have to find that $1 million again. Especially if there's, if it's government growth that we're buying. So I feel strongly that we need to go ahead and amend our appropriation, our tribal appropriate, our projected revenue, like we said in the draft, to include that 1.2 million, or 1. What is it? 1,064,258, and that would be combined with the $158,017 for a total of 1,222,302, and that's what we have to appropriate until we get a report from the treasurer after the audit saying what our revenue is. We can amend that bill and put 75% of it into the unobligated funds if that's what we wanted to. Or we could even amend it now to be a percentage of what our unobligated funds are that comes back to the nation after we get audited. So that's my take on it. I know that everybody has their own ideas about it. I agree with Dr. Shaw that we could have spent that money up to the 30th day of September, but that's a landmark day. It closes our business for that fiscal year, and then we're subject to audit. The Constitution says so. So that's how I feel about it. And I'll say it again if you want me to, but I think I've talked enough.
Quite
all right, isn't it?
Congressman Norris.
Now, the $1.9 million, it's unappropriated funds for 2016. If I understand this correctly, we cannot say that that is an official carryover amount of money, an obligated amount of money, because there can be bills come in past the end of the fiscal year that are 2016 bills. It's going to go against that $1.9 million. Is that correct?
That's not my understanding of it. My understanding of it is we never appropriated that 1.9 million.
Yeah, we never appropriated the 1.9 million. Mm-hmm. But it's unobligated funds.
It's unobligated.
It's unobligated funds, but there can be outstanding bills. Can there be bills and then more bills come in?
There can, because they can encumber that money.
Seems like we used to have a final.
Yeah.
At the end of the fiscal year,
yeah,
in the government, and then we had a final, mm-hmm, which was
an audited number,
yeah,
probably,
and that was it. But that final usually come in after 2000, beginning of the new fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Potts, can you enlighten us? Are there actually encumbrances that could come in and deplete part of this 1.9 million?
No, sir. To answer the question, any encumbrances that you have for a fiscal year are going to count against your unobligated funds for that year as defined by 1597. So you're not going to have an encumbrance come in and impact your 1.9 million of unappropriated funds. If an encumbrance comes in after September 30th, it's going to hit your unobligated funds. The two numbers that are carried forward that typically make up what you would refer to as your carryover amount, which is now officially defined as your unobligated fund amount, those two numbers are what was remaining unobligated at the end of the fiscal year, so what had been appropriated yet not spent, and your unappropriated funds added together. And it was called in the letter from the treasurer the unassigned portion of funds. Those two numbers together added created what you now carry over, or your unobligated fund amount, which for fiscal year 15 was 2.9 million. So if the Congress were to appropriate the 1.9 million of unappropriated funds from fiscal year 16 before the completion of the audit and before the conveyance of that number as the official unobligated number, essentially, and I've talked with Chad, I would love to be able to visit more, I think we're relatively on the same page on this. If you appropriate the 1.9 million at this point, what you'll need to do is when you get the official carryover amount or the unobligated amount from fiscal year 16, you'll need to deduct whatever you appropriate from that.
Right.
From that number.
Right.
The risk is that if that 1.9 million is not realized, it could very well be, it could be exceeded. But the risk is, if that money is not realized, you run the risk of spending over what you have in that year's projected revenue. So that's why it's traditionally been treated by the treasurer, by Treasurer Ketcher. That number was the unassigned portion of fund balances as unappropriated, unobligated, included in that carryover amount, which gave you a clean break point and a fresh amount of money as your carryover to appropriate from at the start of the next fiscal year or in the middle of the next fiscal year.
Any questions from Mr. Potts? I'm going to let Mr. Cobb weigh in here in a little bit. I hear they're about on the same page, but there could be some differences. Mr. Cobb, could you give us your take on this 1.9 million and is or is not available or it's risky or?
Well, I think that as Eli and I both agree on that you would have to back the 1.9 out of the audited number if it was elected to be appropriated. I certainly agree with him on that. I think I probably would rely on Sam and the treasurer's comments on whether or not it is how it was previously done. I know I heard Congressman Whitehorn's remarks of how it was previously done, which was prior to my time as well. So I think I would probably trust on Sam's judgment on whether or not it's available. I certainly can go through and look at the 16 projected revenue, what made up that number. There's five numbers. I have it here. And itemize out the realized incomes from the 16 statements and report that number back as quick as I can. I don't have it available now. And that would probably address, Eli can comment if he wishes, whether or not it would be risky. It would tell you whether how close we were to achieving the actual numbers and or exceeding them, for that matter. I think the good thing in this matter is that it's really only one number for last year. It changed in 17 when we changed the classification of tribal revenue, but in 16 it's one number.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if that cleared anything.
I guess I would say that, let me just talk about where 1.9 million ultimately came from, why it's such a large amount. Since I've been in there, we never had that much money left. Back during the eras, there was millions left routinely. Not been the case in the last 3 years that I'm aware of, that I've been in contact with. That really ends up going back to the 20 million additional gaming distribution we got in January. That's why we still haven't had 1.9 million that was unappropriated. If it were not for that, we would not have had that amount of money. Probably would have been, that may have been the 158,000 total, probably would have been close. We've gone that close before. I don't see that we've taken any more risk of appropriating this money now than if we'd appropriated it September 30th in terms of spending money we don't have. We could have appropriated it September 30th for one particular project, and no one has said anything about risk because we've been told we can count on that money as a part of our projected revenue. We've already included it as part of the 2017 projected revenue, which would mean to me money that's available to appropriate, and we may have to mend it back out because it's in there right now. We don't have the carryover funds included in that projected revenue right now. Now remember, carryover is that amount that remained, that went back to the Treasury because of fiscal year limitations. Tribal appropriations weren't spent in a particular program, and so they went back to the Treasury. And yes, we've always waited. I guess there's been a small amount also that just was unappropriated, 100,000, 200,000, whatever the amount was. Probably not 1.9 million in recent memory. But really it goes back to that gaming distribution that we got. And to me, the only uncertainties that could be, and we're no more uncertain about that now than would have been on September 30th, is did we meet all the projected revenue collections from gaming, from the tax commission? And I don't have a document right now, but I have heard the Treasury tell us when we met here in August, and then also in September, that in his opinion, that money was available for appropriation now. He didn't specify that we needed to wait. I realize it's a different treasurer than we had before. There was Callie Ketcher's opinion, but then there's also our new treasurer's opinion. And, you know, I thought it was kind of unusual. We brought out the previous treasurer's policy, and again, not based in law, a policy she implemented, there may or may not have been correct. I don't know if it could be incorrect, but I don't know whether that could be considered binding either. Right now, if we take the 2.9 and 1.9 off the table, we have about 1.2 million to appropriate. That's if we appropriate every dollar. And the total appropriations we have are 2.2 million. One of the things that Mr. Potts told me was that since this 1.9 million is really beyond what our projected revenue was because it came out of the extra 20 million, is that if we put this back into federal programs and it ends up being requested again next year for federal programs, part of operations, that could place us at risk of exceeding our tribal projected revenue. Congresswoman Whitehorn is mentioning that. That money is actually better used for one-time appropriations that are not going to be recurring, that are not part of operations expense, whether it be economic development, a land purchase, statues, or what have you. They're not going to be recurring. They're not going to be built into the next year's revenue. You approve them or disapprove them based on how much money you have and the merits of whatever the project is. I don't think we're violating any policy if we wanted to appropriate out of that now. I see both sides of this discussion. I frankly think both could be correct, but I would, one is based in precedent, what we've been used to doing, and the other is perhaps looking at a new method. I don't think we're at risk of spending more. John?
Maker? Okay, according to what you're saying there, what is our other option if we don't use that 1.9?
Keep our total appropriations below 1.2 million out of this session. That would leave us, we appropriated all that, we would not have any other money versus a total of about 3.1 million if you added the 1.9 million in to the REMA, to the 158,000, but at 3.1 million. So we'd have more than enough for the appropriations ask if we funded every dollar requested. I don't think the Congress is going to do that, but we certainly have enough. If we don't, then we're going to have to cut about a million about what's been requested out of the requested appropriations. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, another point to look at too is, I think that our CISA session ended maybe October 4th, this last, ended October 4th, we appropriated $50,098,650, and less than 2 months, we're back in with the request of how much? $2.1 million more. So, when the audit is complete and we know what carryover funds are going to be, and depending on how we choose to handle the unobligated revenue fund, to me it seems like $50 million will be plenty to operate our government on until we get the total back from an audit. I don't know why we're in such a hurry to appropriate $2 million right now, less than 2 months after the appropriation cycle. And the reason I pulled this out is because it just gives a very good chain of the control that we held ourselves under as far as spending and to wait for the treasurers to give us a total of a completed audit for a fiscal year. And I think that that's a good precedent to set.
Congressman Maker.
Yeah, well, I think that my theory on this, if you may call it a theory, is we're obligated to watch over the Osage Nation's money, revenue. So I don't think living from paycheck to paycheck is a good thing to do. Some people may live that way, you know, on the outside in their private lives sometimes, you know. But I don't think it's good to be spending the Osage people money up just as quick as we get it. Thank you.
Committee, anybody else have an opinion on that? I think we can act on this today, and we'll make a recommendation. Whatever is passed out, if anything's passed out today, we'll put into amended resolution. get it filed, and we'll have it out on the floor of the Congress, but we have a report on what's available today, tomorrow, to the Congress. Ultimately, the Congress may, there could be amendments on the floor. I mean, it's got a root before it becomes final. So we won't really ultimately make the decision, because the resolution has to be approved by Congress. The fate of the 1.9, for example. And the retained revenue fund and its amendments also laid rest with Congress. The affirmative vote of whatever the final version of that legislation is. So I think we've probably got all the issues in the open. I could live with either one, but you know my position. Just leave it included in the FY17, consider it available. But the committee may feel otherwise. Take that out of the projected revenue. Constance, why would we think that we'd take that out of our resolution?
I think it needs to be, but I just am curious if you, you know, the question that the treasurer had about what fiscal year exactly were you talking about when you thought that that piece of legislation for the unobligated funds might be finalized in before the end of the fiscal year. So, to me, that $1.9 million total is subject of him saying, well, now the fiscal year is 2016 that you're pointing to. So that's kind of how I feel now about that, about the unappropriated funds. That's part of the FY16 business transactions. We got that. That was tribal revenue. Realized projected tribal revenue in FY16. And now it's going to be go through the audit and be the subject of unobligated revenue. So
would it be the opinion of the committee, some members of the committee, that trying to categorize this $1.9 million as available for immediate appropriation as the Congress sees fit is a rush to spend, irresponsible budgeting or spending? I mean, I'm just trying to fully understand this. I'm hearing that from a Congressman Maker, and that's fine.
I agree with Congressman Maker. It's a rush to spend.
It's valid. Mm-hmm. And it's not valid.
Because I believe that we'll get that total. It's going to come to us when the audit's complete. I just think it's a good precedent to set, to continue down that route.
I believe that if we're going to have a resolution that we need, once we get it out, I think we need to try to get it out as early as possible, and also to try to get it out on the floor of Congress early. Because if we're going to be in the situation of having to make reductions in any spending out of those requested by $1 million, we need to know that going in before we get any further down the road. Wouldn't you not want to know that?
Well,
Congress.
Yes, I did want to know that because we were in a committee meeting. We were looking at a $442,000 appropriation, and I didn't know where we were. I knew that we were at 158. I didn't have the sheet to show that we were being requested $2.2 million this session to appropriate. I think I probably knew that, but hadn't paid that close of attention because I think it's crazy for us to come back and do millions of dollars worth of appropriations inside 2 months of our appropriation session.
Well, I'll say this about spending. In the past, there's been a few times that we had to tighten the belt, you know, swallow the bullet, and put some of these things on the back burner, or bend them down to where they do fit within our budget or within our means without spending everything in the treasury down to the last penny.
We've been really close to doing that too.
We've been close. Like I say, you know, some of us may have to do that in our own private lives, living paycheck to paycheck, but I don't like doing that with those same people.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Chairman, I don't know because I haven't reviewed the laws, and Trey's probably going to have to look at it for us, but I don't believe that unappropriated funds from FY16 is part of projected revenue. And I never did believe that. I don't know. I don't think I think I lost that argument. I guess I'm a sore loser, but I never have that as part of FY17 projected revenue.
We'll ultimately know when we vote, but I've heard from three members of the committee. Congressman Norris.
I don't, personally, I don't think that the 2016 unappropriated funds should be available in the five blocks.
Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think what I'm looking at here, the last time we audited the funds, it was June?
This was...
Until you got the correspondence from Cali?
This was for FY14's funds, and we did receive it June 10th. The FY15's funds was received July this year, the end of July.
In that time frame.
And then Treasurer Alexander is saying that he's hoping it's going to be as early as February or March for us this year. And I don't know why it took so long this last time. Do you?
Yeah, a lot of the delay was the Cali's health incident. She was out of pocket, as you remember, from January to December until... They had a delayed start.
Thank you.
Well, my biggest fear, just me, is that 2017, with the... Where do we get our money from? Okay, right? 99.9%. They're going under construction, having to move all the machines and the trailer houses, and soft revenues are getting ready to come our way.
They are doing our year.
I feel it's going to be worse. And with the gaming compact renewing in 2020, with the new president, municipalities being able to possibly open up their own casinos, me for one, and for saving every dime that we can. That's how I feel. I'm really afraid that our projected revenues, which is 46% come out of North Tulsa, could be a crippling figure. That
it's always there.
We don't know. They talk the good talk because that's what they do for a living. But that's my biggest fear.
Okay. Well, let's get to how we would amend the 2017 projected revenue. It looked like the only amount we would look at, we would look at the unappropriated funds. I would say we take that out for the reasons specified here. And then we would add in the ones we talked about in our previous meeting, which was adding in the REMA settlement, well, adding the REMA settlement amount into the tribal funds. Yeah, you made a motion, Congressman.
I'm going to let your mind figure out how to classify those. Unless you really want the committee to get down into the details.
What's the total that he was going to get?
Let me get back to the minutes here because that's where it's going to be.
That's the total, and then I wanted it to know that this is where that total.
Oh, okay, from. Right, okay. Okay. Well, what we added was
I didn't specify into okay. What category it
you
was
go
added.
Into
right, I decided that you, as the author okay. of the resolution, could figure out what, and you and Tri could put it
okay.
into the appropriate categories.
That's what we'll do.
And
then we go in tribal. And then we take unappropriate funds. That's what I'm hearing from the committee.
And I'm wanting to ask Mr. Cobb, if you don't mind, we requested that statement.
Yes, I talked to him about it today.
Are they going to furnish that?
Mr. Cobb, we just want to know about that revised statement about the IHS multi-year funding agreement, pre-award. Instead
yes,
of 245, we're asking that it be restated as 91,000.
I got that request. I've been meaning to speak to Sam. I haven't even spoken since lunch. You've been a closer meeting. But yes, to answer your question, I'll provide.
The reason that I'm asking that is before I would feel comfortable with voting on the resolution, and I realize we need to get it passed through pretty quick,
right.
I would either want to have that statement in place or to have a motion of this committee stating where we're getting these figures from.
Mr. Cobb, you recall that the reason why we're wanting a restatement is we thought the 245, why it might be fiscally correct, it gave us the impression we had $245,000 more to spend. And while I realize you didn't take into account the 150 in IDC funds that we had to pay back, we were interested in the amount that we actually received net.
Right, and I believe that's the committee.
Right. So if you get us that, I'm going to go ahead and draft the amendment to the resolution, amended resolution that will include just 91.
Okay.
And that should go into the restricted multi-year funding agreement line item, I believe. Permanent fund doesn't change, unobligated fund doesn't change, although it may be taken off there at some point. Under appropriated funds, yes.
You're saying the 91,758 will stay within the IHS?
That's be added to that.
And also the 7,500 for the educational leadership stays within the education fund, correct?
I'm not sure we did anything with that. We didn't specify where that would go. We just left. We just were silent on that. That's what it came out to. We talked a lot about
it. It's going to be considered money that just goes into revenue that goes into the general treasury. They'll be able to appropriate that anywhere they want to.
Request.
Huh?
We decided to leave it alone.
Request the appropriation anywhere they want to.
We didn't include that in our projected revenues, but it came down to it.
Okay.
So I believe it was Rayma and the 91,000.
Can I?
Continue.
It was Rayma, 91,000, the museum, and KSU, all of those. I went in and just made a motion to include those in projected revenue totals. The request to spend them will be where they want to spend them at.
Well, on your motion, it was you just put a total amount, which I thought was the...
I amended the motion.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, she amended the amendment. The motion mm-hmm. to amend the amendment is... Send us a revised statement.
To reflect... Right, but that total amount reflects $960,700 plus $4,327 plus $91,758 plus $7,500. That's where you get that $1,064,285 total. That's all four.
Rayma and what else?
Rayma.
Museum.
Museum. IHS pre-award reimbursement. And this the educational leadership.
That's more than $1,064,000.
Is it?
Maybe not.
I thought I added it. Thought I added it twice. Maybe I didn't.
I added it as well.
You added it once. That's the correct total.
Okay. You guys over here yeah. can add.
Okay. I'll put it in the totals.
Okay.
Congressman Walker?
Well, there was a discussion yesterday with the Title VI director. There was also a $30,000. Revenue potential with
that's true
associated with the Title VI in Fairfax. We did discuss that with executive staff, including Sue Slinker, so I think it would be appropriate for the Appropriations Committee to at least reconsider it.
Yesterday the question was, where did the $30,000 come from? We said we would ask and try to find that out. Here's where the $30,000 came from as a projected amount. They were using Pahuska's yearly numbers, both projections for those meals they charge for, including to a certain degree even their staffing. And they sold about 60,000 meals at Pahuska in this last year. So they targeted 30,000 in projected income or from those meals for this coming year. The center is expected to open in March, I think. March 1st is what they had been told yesterday. Right at 6 to 7 months. So 30,000 is where that number came from. And that was actually some program income. Now, does program income, is that considered program income? Does that go under projected revenue, Mr. Fox?
Yes.
I'm trying to see where that is. That mean non-tribal?
It would be included in the tribal amount.
Included in the tribal amount, okay. So technically, we may have to consider the $1,064,000 and the $30,000 is going into those amounts. Committee okay with that? The question I heard yesterday was just wanted to know how they got that number. Where did that come from?
30.
Yeah, from the Title VI of Fairfax. That's how much they expect to generate from the sales of meals. So they'd be, what is it, $2 or $6, $7 for speaker rent?
I have a question in that regard because here we're totally federally funded. And if you go over there enough, you'll be able to, you can tell when people walk through the door, it's a suggested donation. You don't have to pay a dime to eat there. No one does. That's because it's federally funded. Now, when we go over here, it's tribally funded. So that suggested donation will not be $2 if you're 55 and over, or $6 if you're under. Could have implications on attendance, because I know the people that eat here, most of them that I see, just go on through. Just want to throw that out there.
They did collect $60,000, they said, in the previous fiscal year. They're not obligated then. Well, so when it's federal funds, that's an obligation to try to get $2, is that right? Because it's federal funds.
Suggested donation.
Suggested donation.
You don't have to pay anything.
They implied yesterday that they would follow the same policy they have at the hospital. It didn't seem to make a difference. But it is interesting that one Title VI program is federal and one of them is tribal rather than one budget for both that is a mixture.
I don't know if you call it, truly call it a tribal Title VI thing.
We were told when the mayor, I'm sorry.
Congressman Maker.
That was my point, Congressman just said that, see, as far as I know, when we use tribal funds, we're supposed to be spending it on DOC people. And I haven't seen any numbers yet of how many Osage is going to be serviced by our new facility. I mean, just from what, just, I mean, we have to go by something here, right? Some criteria for funding. Like Congressman Tillman said, over here, it's federal, and we serve everybody there. I don't care if you're East Dahay, Miasa, or Osage.
I can help you. I can say one word. Sure.
Yes, sir.
I built Title VI. To accept that fund, you've got to set the requirements of what deliverables with that federal dollars you have. Open door policy. You guys are stepping in the realm of tribally owned. You hit it right on the head. You don't have to charge your people, and they're not going to like it. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, well, why did they get it? Brother just about brought it up with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Wallace. I think they're going to follow the same policy. Suggested donation. You can ignore that if you see fit, the same way you would at the Husker. And I guess, I don't know if most pay, don't pay, half of them pay.
The ones that can will pay.
That's the big thing.
All of our elders are on fixed incomes, as you know.
Would you feel comfortable with a different amount or no amount?
I felt comfortable with no amount. That's why I didn't include it in there. And then after we have a year's worth or even 6 months worth of attendance at that facility, we can kind of have a grasp on what they can put in there for a projection.
So now this facility in Fairfax is going to have a, it'll have an income statement, balance sheet. We'll have to know, is it making money? Is it losing money? Are we going to have to keep funding it? Is it going to sustain itself?
It's going to have to. I haven't heard. We didn't actually get to that yesterday.
To my knowledge, they didn't even see a budget for that facility. They looked at a division budget. So we don't know what they're slating for. Did you see a budget for that facility? Mm-hmm. No, they didn't see a budget.
No, they didn't have a budget.
We don't know how it's going to be ran, staff, paid.
Yeah, none of that.
No. Once again, their budget was extrapolated from the Pahuska budget as far as total amount only. There were no line items presented.
There is an appropriation request for that facility this session, correct?
$211,000 tribal funds that were to cover Title VI.
It's
reported out from the committee.
And how will it be distributed within that program, do we know? Salary, supplies.
Well, that's, it's, I can't tell you exactly what's in the budget.
Yes, well, you know, Mrs. Slankard was here yesterday, and she gave a brief account of the new facility and what they were going by, because some of my questions were directed towards that number. Number one, the building's not even completed yet, you know. It's projected to open up in, according, you know, sometime this year, next year in 17. But I asked her about the employees, how many, if they had a vehicle, and some of them was a little small. But I thought there was an actual budget somewhere, because I said, well, where did you get these numbers? You might remember whoever was in that committee. And I said, well, me and Mr. Cobb put this together. And I wanted to ask her by what authority or by whose command, but somebody had to say, hey, put the budget together for this new facility. And I don't, that's all I know. I know it has to be funded, but when we're in a tight pinch like we are right now, I mean, like I said, sometimes things have to wait, you know, or be, you know, amended to what we can afford. But no one wants to leave, see our people left out, especially if we have to service our own six people, not the whole general public.
Congressmaker, I see your point, but if we're choosing not to afford that by leaving the 1.9 million out, because that still is available, but I understand the will of the committee, and I will support that. But part of it's our choice, okay? So we got a $3 million building over there. We'll have no activities in it probably till next fall. That's what the Congress wants to do, and that's what we'll do. But that's the only reason why this 211,000 or 190,000, I think it was. It was approved. I think we can get a budget that may be after the fact. Maybe this will be one of the programs that doesn't get approved, one of these appropriations. But I think it was the notion that we got a $3 million building and we'll have no programming in it. There was no budget. We were told that before the September session. There was no monies left to fund services at that senior program in Fairfax. And we were going to have to take that up at some time. We knew it was coming. I know Congressman Tillman was aware of that. And so it came up. I don't think anyone questioned its need, and so that's where that amount came from. Now, if we feel like we need a line item budget to legitimize it, I'm sure we can get that, if that's really what it's hinging on. Mr. Cobb, have you seen any kind of budget for that program?
Yes.
How they'll allocate the salaries or
yes.
or the for supplies?
And I mentioned in the meeting yesterday what the number was for salaries. It was 52,801. I just remembered from yesterday. I had it there at the table and read a few numbers off, but.
Could you go ahead and send that? I can distribute it to the Congress and this committee later.
Sure.
The bill's already been reported out. I think that'd be okay, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. I support that not including the 30,000. We don't know the fate of that bill, the fate of the services, or whether it's even going to be open. So I think that's wise. Okay, well, what would the committee like to do next on this? If we're at a stopping point, I'm going to draft a revised resolution to amend the 2017 projected revenue with the numbers we just spoke about. We'll draft it, get it filed, and we can discuss it at the next meeting. Okay, let's move on in the agenda here to, I've got one other item on the agenda, which was ONCA 1706. An act to revise or amend the retained revenue bill. I think you may have a copy in your little packet. And who's the vice chairman of this one?
Is it me?
Yeah, it may be your.
I'm a lot of vice chairs. I'm vice chairs everywhere.
Okay, well, I'd like to transfer chairmanship to Congresswoman Whitehorn, as this is my bill.
Thank you, Congressman Shaw. Considering ONCA 1706, an act to amend ONCA 16107 that created the Osage Nation Retained Revenue Fund and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Shaw has an amendment to this bill, and would you please let us know what the amendment's going to do?
As you may recall, the the Osage Nation Retained Revenue Act established this fund and described that the deposits of this fund would be the unobligated funds from the previous fiscal year will be deposited, and the initial bill said by the 31st of October. But I know that we weren't to leave time in case there was a delay, but I'm a little hazy on exactly how we selected October 31st. But nonetheless, the bill was passed unanimously by Congress on September 28th, and at that time, the previous fiscal year would have been considered FY 2015, because 16 wasn't over yet. Veto override on October 3rd. By that time, we were into the 2017 fiscal year. So technically, if the bill read previous fiscal year, so the treasurer told me directly by email and verbally that he sees that the previous fiscal year being 2016. And so therefore, he hadn't planned to make any deposit yet. He was talking about the audit. And so I think the congressional intent that I spoke of and what I heard from my colleagues that supported this bill was that we were talking about the 2.9 that was unobligated from 2015. In fact, Congressman Tillman made an amendment to include 100% of that amount to be deposited. So in order to really regain control and deposit of that amount, it is going to require an amendment to specify what that initial deposit was. And that's what the purpose of this bill is here. So as you can see under Section 3B, retained revenue funds shall be funded by tribal funds unobligated from the previous fiscal year. In this act, previous fiscal year shall mean the most recent fiscal year for which an annual audit has been completed. The initial deposit shall be the unobligated tribal funds from the 2015 fiscal year. Upon completion of the audit, the treasurer shall report the total amount of unobligated funds within 14 days to the Congress and the chief. 100% of the unobligated tribal funds shall be deposited in the retained revenue fund annually within 30 days of the completion of the audit. So the language that was changed was, what's the initial deposit? 15, no question. We clarified previous fiscal year by saying specifically 2015. And it also talked about how soon we should get a report after the annual audit about what the amount of unobligated funds. And instead of saying October 31st, it says 30 days after whenever that audit is completed, that money's deposited. And let's suppose the audit came out March 1st. That means by April 1st, that money should be deposited. That's really the change in language. I'd certainly entertain any amendments that would clarify it further, if you feel it any or needed. The rest of it's unchanged. I will remind you that we can appropriate out of it, but it requires a supermajority of 8 affirmative votes instead of 7. Congresswoman, you're the chairman.
Oh, I am the chairman. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that explanation of your amendment. I support the changes that you've made. I'm just curious to know if we are still all on board for leaving 100% of the unobligated tribal funds. If everybody's still solid on that, I can remain solid on that.
Aye.
You're solid on that? Okay.
Hold on.
Congressman,
the 2.923 that is in for our discussion, that 2015, has it been audited?
Mm-hmm.
It's been, so it's ready to be deposited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was our intent.
Right.
Last September. Exactly. And by the stroke of midnight, I understand what happened.
Right.
Because we went further and extended. So, yes, I'm on board with this.
That means year after year, 100% of the audited, returned
audited.
It saves some
money.
Okay. We're good to go.
Please.
Does everybody support that?
Yeah.
Okay. I support the amendment. Is there any more discussion to the amendment?
No.
Are you still wanting to do a bit more research there? You want a little recess?
No, but I started to have those conversations in the last couple of months since we ended session, I think, talking about the whole 100%, which we probably exhausted conversation leading up to that, and that's what we came up with, and I'm willing to stick with it too, but I think we were already kind of, some of us were like, well, that's a big commitment.
It is, but it's not totally locked up. We can appropriate it out of that fund at any time we want to. It just takes about an eight.
About an eight, okay. And we talked about taking all of the aid money locking it up with a super duper.
For the fair.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and I entertain movement, Congresswoman Pratt, Speaker Pratt.
I make a motion to report bill number ONCA 1706 Congress of the Deep Pass recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion, second by Congressman Tillman. Any discussion to the motion?
Just a question here. Congressman, have the wording as amended, is this committee self-contained, or does this pass? It seems like we've had to change the wording.
This is an amendment to the original 1607, but in committee we didn't make any amendment.
Okay,
to
so
this actual bill.
It's
a pure piece of legislation.
This is the way it was filed.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any more discussion to the motion? All in favor of the motion say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed to the motion say no. No noes. Passes. We will report ONCA 1706 to Congress with the passed recommendation. I will relinquish the chair back to Chairman Shaw.
Thank you, Congresswoman Whitehorn. Well, that completes our agenda for today. I'm going to be spending the rest of the afternoon this evening piecing together a revised or a resolution for projected income, just as we discussed. And would love to be able to get that, I'll assume the tray can format it, get it in there, but I'd love to get that read out or introduced and then referred to this committee back again, and then we can get it back there, or should we discharge it from committee? What do you think you would do, Congresswoman Pratt, if that comes to you? Say it's read in, I don't think it'll be read in tomorrow, and if Trey get it done for the meeting.
For the I drifted there for a second.
Resolution,
for the resolution
amending
for
the FY17
projected revenue. Okay.
Would you probably refer that back to this committee?
Yeah, that's probably what would happen.
By resolution. When resolutions are presented by our rules, they can just go straight to general order. They don't have to go to committee. And I'm not sure what the process is, if she just moves it there without objection, or if you email the Congress and say that you want this just to go on general order. But there is a process in our rules for it. I just need...
Okay.
You need somebody to review what that process is.
I have it on my phone.
I don't think it needs, personally, I don't think it needs to come back to this committee if all the totals are correct and we know what they are. I don't think it needs to be visited by committee again. We've ironed it out.
Yeah, that's where I would refer it, but I agree. I don't know that it needs to.
All right, good for planning.
But if you don't mind, I would like to say I either think we need to make a motion or committee intent of where we got all of those numbers that's in that resolution, or we need to have the document from the treasurer amended before I feel comfortable. You know, it can go through our process. We can take a few days processing it through, but personally, I need that document to vote yes on it to make sure that we aren't just... I know where we got the numbers, but I like a document trail where the numbers came from.
Mr. Cobb, you think it'd be reasonable to think that tomorrow we might get that amended statement on the projected revenue from the pre-award?
Yeah,
that you were asking about.
Yeah,
yes.
And if we got
pre-award excluding the $30,000.
Yeah, excluding the $30,000 after the new one came today.
And that may not.
Yes.
I'm okay with that. I mean, that's conservative, and we don't know. There's still some vagaries here. I mean, if that supplemental appropriation to health doesn't pass or have that amount amended out, then there won't be, if it is amended out, there won't be any Title VI services out there until such a time that there is money appropriated. It could be in the spring, maybe.
The education side would be open, but the Title VI side wouldn't be open.
I believe that this committee needs to do our evaluation, how the appropriation committee has always done, to see what we have before us. compared to the number that we've come to and make recommendations to Congress.
Let me ask you this, tomorrow...
We need to do that.
They talk about report of select committee. Now, that does not necessarily have to be a bill, does it? Reporting out a bill. What if we're just reporting out kind of a summary of our discussion?
Yeah, that's what we...
You know, we haven't passed the resolution yet, so we would point that out, but with this resolution to pass as supported by our committee, this is how much you would have.
Right, that's exactly what I was going to say, because with Congresswoman Whitehorn saying, I still want that email, you know, Chad's saying, I think we can get you tomorrow, but I wouldn't mind if it continued to go through our process for sure until we get it, so let it kind of work its way through. But in the meantime, give a report to Congress.
Well, if people are discussing these bills now, and they're trying to decide, check their meter about super conservative or not very conservative, and they're trying to adjust based on what they think up here, like money we have to spend, well, if that's reported out, I'm afraid they're going to have to crank it up on the conservative meter, because there's not, they're going to have to be real conservative on discussing those supplemental appropriations.
Right, which is why I still don't like, and I'm going to get with Congresswoman Edwards, I'll look at the rules again, but I think that rule is still in there. And it was changed, I want to say this first year that I came on, that at the recommendation of the executive branch, that we're only required to make, by our rules, to make a, to give a report to Congress when we've exceeded 95% of projected revenue, which with the permanent fund and all that stuff, it doesn't happen. So I don't like the fact that we don't have to report to our Congress when we're that low on available monies, you know, without the permanent fund and all that stuff. So I would like that change in our rules as well.
Of course. Knowing what you know, I mean, there's nothing that prohibits you from doing that.
No, no.
And making sure that your budget
is... No, but we've had a former chair who did not do it, so...
Well, what started this discussion is Congressman Shaw asked if he can just make a report to Congress. If he wants to report to Congress, what we talked about in our meeting, we think he can make a report to Congress about that.
Yeah.
And we're encouraging that.
Yeah, I think you
can. So we've got the resolution, but there's going to be a little bit of a lag trying to get that through. We'll try to move along as quickly as we can based on what the Congress wants to do. But that might lag but kind of a couple of days. And there's going to be supplemental appropriation bills in committee every day for the next 2 days. I feel like they need to have some information before they start those. Because all of them have tribal appropriations in them.
I think you should. I think, and there's nothing that stops you from distributing if you've got things from the budget analyst. If you've got, I always like the charts to come out and email out the charts and say, this is our latest chart.
Well, I think we're at a place we can adjourn. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Okay.
All in favor of adjournment, say yes.
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 Okay.
Yes.
See.
That was me.
Before 4:30. We didn't take up a whole lot of time.
Hang on. Can I get that number that you...